for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, December the 25th, 2009. Carl Fox is the speaker of the evening, teaching on faith.
God bless you, Glenn. It's a real honor to be here. We don't get here very often, but when we get a chance to be here, it truly is it's great. Okay, I love Glenn Miller. I appreciate his life. And that's one of the things I like about him is he wears his heart right on his sleeve. And that's a quality that I think he probably learned that from Jesus. But in each and every one of you, many of you I've known for a long time, and some of you I have just known for a few minutes maybe, but we're family, and get over it. You learn to love me because we're stuck with each other. Amen. But all day long, I was trying to find out from the Father, what am I supposed to share tonight? And it kept changing. He was teaching me. But he wants me to share on a subject that I'm very familiar with. I'm not an expert, but I've shared on it for probably 40 years. And that's faith. Because in Hebrews it says, first of all, you need to acknowledge that God is God. Get over it. He is God. Amen. All right? And then, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It doesn't say results. It says faith. And I know 1 Corinthians 13 is one of my favorites. I got a whole bunch of favorites, but just like you do. But it says that now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest, of course, is love or charity, if you want to use old King James language. But I've tried to, in the Bible and in my own personal life, separated faith and love, and you can't. They're bound so closely together that they just can't be separated because, you know, without love, we're just a clanging cymbal and we burn out. But we're facing a day and a time like we've never faced, I believe. Some of you are older than me and some are younger than me. But 67 is just a few days away for my life. And praise God. But the beauty of it is, you know, if you're all watching television all the time, you know, it's going to affect you in a negative way. You got to, and yet I'm not saying don't watch it, because I do sometimes myself. And I want to tell you, Fox News, I don't own it, okay? They just took my name. But the thing we have to realize, folks, is that Jesus said, He said it to me, I don't know about you, but He said it to me. It's in this book, and I got my name on it. Okay? And He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the heart of faith is relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the heart of faith. And how do you get that? Just faithfully keep reading His Word, praying. Don't worry about your problems. Do like He did. I mean, even on the cross, you know. And that had such a profound effect that Stephen, when he was being stoned, copied what the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Because, see, all these things are in a bundle. They're in a package. And you can't separate them away and become an expert in one or the other. They're all together. And Christianity is not a religion. It's not a denomination. It literally is a relationship with a Father that loves His children beyond what we'll ever understand. maybe in eternity, but I suspect we'll figure it out there. But He loves us, and He has held nothing back ever for any one of us. Maybe we've had times when we felt like it, but He has never held anything back, including His precious Son. And I watched Crystal and that wonderful man that's in her life and that little boy. And when you have children, you start to realize how hard it would be to give up one of your children. You know, it's just unbelievable the love that God has, because His love had to be bigger than the loneliness He felt in His heart when His son was cold and dead. Obviously, the anger that tried to raise up when He seen what was being done to His son. And that is the same spirit that you have in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And so with the things that we're facing, it's not a big deal. If we will believe that Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, then for the sake of you being a great testimony in this crooked and perverse nation, then get close to Jesus Christ. Don't leave nor forsake Him. That's the key. He won't leave you because He always keeps His word. But what are we going to do? Because the temptations are going to be great. I've seen people right in our own church lose fortune, millions of dollars. That would all crumble. You know, we thought we had a real solution for an energy problem thing. But it turned out we got the socialists and the liberal party, and they really don't want a solution to it. It's pretty hard to come against all them. But it's okay, because greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And if you're dependent on politicians, you know, please get prayed for before the weekend's over, okay? Seriously, you need deliverance. Alright? It's like, I remember years ago I knew some top politicians and they had some integrity in them yet. I don't know if any of them do, and I'm not going to go anywhere with that, okay? But what I want you to realize is the only integrity you have is Christ Jesus our Lord. See, we talk about Jesus all the time, but let's recognize something, and this might shoot a sacred cow, but we'll help you bury it, or someone will bleed it out and we'll have barbecue. But the thing about it is, when we talk about Jesus, He was a sacrifice. Jesus was the second Adam. He was the one that paid the price. He obeyed His Father to the point where He says, hey, Dad, don't you think we can find another way? And in that garden, and His friends, and He just fell asleep. And He knew from a very young age, because He knew the Word of God, He knew it had been prophesied about what He had to face. But when the Father said, Son, that's the way it is. See, people don't realize that Jesus was the second Adam. He could have went the way of the first Adam. And if that angers you, you go talk to God about it, because I won't argue with you. But it says He was tempted in every way. If He couldn't have been tempted, then the Bible couldn't have said that, okay? The temptation at that point to walk away. Because, see, He hadn't sinned. He could live forever. Literally, there's been so much done for you and I that we have no idea. But please, let's not let our problems get so much bigger than the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't do it. He faced it. And He'll give you, and He'll give me the strength, He'll give us the strength. We can't depend on other people, even right here. And there's some marvelous saints in this room. But we've got to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it wasn't Jesus that was put in you the hope of glory. It was what? Christ, because He is a resurrected one. He is the one that got out of the grave. He is the glorified. He is the anointed. And that's the hope of glory that you have in you, sister. So as you're singing and praising, and you got a great voice for it. I sit close enough, I heard it. And praise God. It was real. But see, We have got to recognize that anything we do for God is nothing compared to what He's willing to do for you. See? And in our life, we have got to get to the point to where it's all about praise is how you live. Worship is how you live. You know all this stuff? That's great practice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord gets a hold of you and you them little ivories go crazy up there. Why? Because obviously you praise Him a little bit in between, right? A lot. It shows. See, that's the key. It's how we handle what comes against us. I'm not trying to say that we're not going to have problems. I mean, read the Bible. Suspect you have. Of course we're going to have problems. But we've got to recognize our hope is not flying out of here before the stuff hits. Okay? And sorry if that breaks the bubble, but our hope is that the Lord Jesus Christ, He literally means every bit of it when He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we have lonely times, you know, and we have hurtful times. We have disappointments. We have despair. All these things that come upon us. But if we will recognize that He will never leave nor forsake us, man, woman, child, let's believe this. Let's grab a hold of Him and not let loose. All right? Don't let loose. Don't let temptation, don't let success or failure, sickness or health, happiness or sorrow, don't let loose. Because if we do, we're the ones that broke the bond. You know, God has a book full of promises. But you know what? There's a requirement, and if you don't do it, you don't see it. And that's called faith. And what do we do with faith? You believe, right? Hey, Lord, are we awake? That turkey gets you sleepy. Come on. But faith, am I messed up, moving around too much? Faith is a wonderful thing. You have the faith of Jesus Christ in you. Well, why aren't we all walking on water? Do we have that kind of faith? It's in us. How much are we going to believe? How much are we going to go by our past experience? Good or bad, it don't matter. Because our God is now. And our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord now. And that's where we have got to go. We're going to see things, you know, I had somebody, well, I just taught on it about a week ago in the church. You know, I heard all these people saying, man, them people in Washington don't have any sense at all. You know, where's their common sense? So the Lord led me to go into Romans chapter 1. I mean, they're reprobate, okay? If they haven't done it, they support it. Okay? And their reprobate literally means no common sense. That's the literal meaning of it. And to have so much not common sense to think that they could pass bills that cause terrible debt, there's no common sense in that when all the people don't want it, or most of the people. I'm not here to talk politics. I just want you to see how things are going. You know, I was over at Clement's and Francis's house this morning for a little while, and Fox News was on. I don't know them, all right? But they, I just seen something on there about Russia has now made a declaration that they're going into a big nuclear weapons program. Isn't that amazing? If they had common sense, they'd have known it when the head of their security, the KBG, was made president. Just common sense. It's no farm boy to figure that one out. We only have one hope, and when times was good, we only had one hope. And that was Jesus Christ. And for Jesus Christ to be Lord, you know what that means? It means He's the boss. Right? And He did leave us. Go to Mark. He did leave a responsibility onto us. And it's written to everybody. See, the whole Bible is not written to everybody. Some of it's written to Israel. Some of us written to people under the law, right? Okay. Well, this is only written to those who believe. It's not written to people that won't believe. That's why it don't work. I had an experience one time, and I've been privileged to see thousands of people healed. I've experienced the dead getting up. We were in Costa Rica last winter, and that lady's eyes were just white. And we just had a blind lady come up, and she only got part of her sight. This lady come up, and her eyes was white. And everybody was like, I'm missing it. They're saying, pray for her eyes, pray for her eyes. Who's my interpreter? But see, we got to do what the Lord leads. You know what the Lord told me to do? Put a new pancreas in her. So I commanded a new pancreas into her. And pretty soon, it just like this white veil moved. It was the prettiest blue eye I ever seen. Just awesome. And it kept right on going. And all of a sudden, this lady grabbed me. And she's Spanish and I'm not. But I knew what she was saying. I can see. She told me through the interpreter later on. She said, you know, why I had the faith is you didn't know that my toe's been cut off from diabetes. And of course, diabetes can cause blindness, right? Okay? And so literally, God knows. And we have got to get ourselves in the position where we will listen to Him and not everybody around us. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean just blow everybody off. But see, the first thing, some of you maybe are sick and need healing, and you need to repent because you went to the doctor before you prayed. Seriously. Well, this is it, because that's seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, then what was the kingdom of your God? I'm not against doctors, and that's what some people say, Carl's against doctors. Well, where I stand is I would rather die believing God than live trusting the doctor. That's me. I don't recommend it for anybody. But that's me, okay? Well, and I'm very supportive of anybody that needs to go to the doctor. I will take them. And I have. But what I'm saying is that you have got to take a stand with God. And the only way you can do it is with Jesus Christ. You can't get there any other way. There is no other way. And that's not only for salvation. By the way, salvation is also deliverance. It's also healing. But He is the only way to get there. And when you consider He really meant it, and He really did say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because I peeked in some other people's Bible too, and He promised them that same thing. He literally is with us. So whatever our need is tonight, let me ask you this. Say you got 10 needs, okay? If you knew you could get one need taken care of tonight, what would you do? You say, it's not fair, I got 10? Seriously, some people would do that. I want them all. Why should I have to decide? But sometimes we have to take things one at a time. Because that's where we're at. If you try to take 5 steps at once, you know, you're going to have carpet burns on your forehead. It doesn't work that way because you can't even jump that far. It's 1 step at a time. 1 step at a time. When my arm was paralyzed after I broke my neck, I would pick it up and I would tell it was healed. I'd let go of it and it fell. Just like that. But you know what? It was healed. Why? Because first step is, that's what the Bible says. And if I had continually said, which people tried to tell me, you're not healed, Carl. You're not healed. Well, the liar was here. The truth was, when we prayed, I was healed. So we have got to break a habit of wait until you see it before you claim it, because that's not faith. That's foolishness. And I know that that's kind of shoot some sacred cows, but it's the truth. Faith is, you make the promise. You speak the promise because the Word of God said it. I don't care how many people said you got a ruptured Duflotchi bone. You know, if you ask God to heal it in the name of Jesus Christ, that's what you hold on to. That's the first step. It took a couple, 3 years. Then, you know, got to where I had no meat on these bones. And, you know, I used to think all this weight was, you know, because I had big bones. We both have the same problem. Gravity has pulled down too much of our chest, you know? No vegetables, yeah. They didn't sacrifice vegetables, okay? But the thing is, folks, that you take things one step at a time. See, that's how it's done. First of all, you find the promise in the Word of God. That's step one. You go to God and you claim that promise. And the devil laughs and says to his henchman, that idiot, he's not strong enough to resist me. And he tried. It was probably 2.5 years. But you know, and some of you heard this story, if you have, tough luck. But this old arm just hang. The only movement was as I walked, it flopped, you know. But I looked down one day and this finger was doing this. See, use what he gives you right away. I looked down and I grabbed my arm and I threw it up and I scratched. That don't seem like very much to you. But for going on 3 years, I hadn't been able to do that. That was great. And as I done it, I started to appreciate the Lord. Your arm, honey, could be healed, all right? Tonight's the night. All right? Amen. Amen. Start moving it. Start moving it. Don't pay attention to what's been doing. Honey, move it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. I had to move it that way. That's why you got one good one. Pretty soon, a couple days later, I looked. There's two of them gone, yeah? Well, I wasn't like this. No, I had to do it like this. You don't think that was a big deal? To me, it just got twice as good. You know, I pushed it around. Because you get thankful for what He does for you. Alright? And you take advantage of it. The devil's taking advantage of you. Old people say, Brother Carl, that don't work. Well, it don't work for you, Charlie Brown. It works for me. Alright? Well, then one night, I'm sleeping away. I heard my wife let out a holler. And the light came on and her eyes all swollen up. My arm went like this. Whoom! If you ever backhanded anybody or got it, it hurts. The eyes all puffed up. And praise God. After she beat me. No, she actually was excited. She said, honey, your arm moves. I hadn't even noticed it. I was looking at her eye. So, you know, you take care of business as you go. We prayed for her eye. You know? And we rejoiced. It wasn't moving anymore, but it had moved. Giving thanks always in all things. Well, how can I be thankful for a bad arm? Well, first I'd be thankful this one still works. Right? And then when things start to happen, when people tell you you can't do something, don't accept it, alright? Unless it's they're telling you don't sin, then you better listen. Okay, but what I'm saying, because God bless the doctors. God told me years ago, I said, why do we have to have all these doctors and stuff? He said, because of your unbelief. He said, if there's no unbelief, you wouldn't need any doctors anymore. Well, I got news for you. When you're hurting, that really comes against your faith. But I want to tell you something. Can you check it in your Bible, unless you got one of these new chainsaw murder Bibles? But I know in the King James, I like King James, Jesus used it, okay? But in the King James, it when it says, believeth, that E-T-H, I'm not real smart, I'm not a big brain guy, but I could study and learn some things. That E-T-H means continuing to believe. And that's exactly, and it says, Jesus said, anything whatsoever you say, but we'll go there in a minute, we're close to it. But what he said in Matthew 15, he says, if you dwell in me as I dwell in you, you can have what you say. See, Satan knows the Bible better than us. Not that he's so smart, he just has had a long time to read it. Seriously, if he's smart, he would have held his first job. You know? But the thing about it is, he knows that if he can get me to not confess what the Word of God says, then I'm not dwelling in the Lord. If I say, oh, my back is just killing me. Oh, you want that, huh? See, because you're caught up in the pain. I know pain. I broke my back twice and my neck once. I'm a foolish boy. But I know God heals, and I know, literally, I had a big, good physical therapist when I broke my neck. And she told me, she said, Carl, you can move it if you can overcome the pain. She says, oh, I don't know if she's a Christian or not. But she was right. It would hurt so bad. She said, just push it. Just push it. And I had to see this woman twice a day, you know. And she was tough. That's what she said. Just take it a little further. And you know, it works. See, if you give in to how you feel, smell, taste, touch, or hear, you're in trouble. Because that's the senses. You know, and this has to do with your finances. Well, what do you do about finances? Well, Malachi chapter 3, Jesus said, I am the Lord and I change not, right? Verse 6, look for yourself if you don't believe me. Well, if he said, I change not, what did he mean? Change not. And guess what he's talking about? The tithe. If you got financial problems and you're waiting till you get your finances together before you tithe, you're stealing from God. You read it. Now, there's a wonderful camp here. They struggle for funds many times. Glenn and I were talking about this last night. And he said if just people just gave $10 a year, they'd get the magazine. I forget what the figure was. It was a nice chunk of money. But see, we come up with reasons why not. You know, the ministry that God's put me in charge of, Christian Faith International Ministries, you know what we do when we come up short with money? I write a check. I write a check to a, you know, see, you don't realize the beauty of this. You see, why am I talking about finances? Because we got some people who got problems there. You love the, oh, everybody here loves the Lord. No doubt about that. But see, if you're holding His money, you can't have His goodness. The hardest place to trust Him is with that old pocketbook. Some people, the more they got, the less they trust. But if we will believe that and move with it, God will make a way. But I, you know, hey, everything that comes through Christian Faith International Ministries is poured out somewhere. You know, we got 7 ministries in Romania alone that we don't just support. We are the support. We founded them. You say, well, you don't need to give anywhere else. But see, when things get tight, folks, it really works. I'm telling you something that will really work, okay? And you cannot believe me that we're really not work. Okay? But I know ministries that really have picked all the rocks out of the field. They've got it all dug up. They got smoothed out. They did all the work. And all I got to do is slip a check over there and sow into it. It really works. See, and this is relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you say, mind your own business. Don't talk to me about that. Stay poor. But don't complain around me. Okay? Seriously, folks. Finances is a serious thing. You know, they say they're not going to tax you, and they tax you, you know? Fact is, pretty much whatever they say, anyway, Praise God. But see, when Jesus Christ says it, or God says it, he always spoke for his Father, right? Jesus never said his own thing. Never done his own thing. He always said and done the will of the Father. So you don't have to separate which one said it. But when he sets a standard there, folks, it really works. It really works. And God wants to give to us. God wants us healthy. He wants arms healed. Right? Amen. 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 We're going to get you tonight, Grum. Praise the Lord. Because what's the difference between healing and deliverance? I can't see any difference at all. It's all part of the package. Right? And they're both very needed. And we need to walk in healing. We need to walk in deliverance. I think it was Glenn said earlier tonight, or maybe it was Clement. I respect them both so much I can't separate them sometimes, but they said, someone said that you can't give what you don't have. Was it you? Well, see, people use that as an excuse not to give money. But if God gives you $100, 90 of it is yours. Oh, but $100 is not enough and 90 is less. No, 90 with a blessing from God. It's amazing what happens. It's unbelievable. But the same thing if you got a withered arm. The confession has got to be, by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And I had people tell me, you can't come preach my church anymore. You're a liar. That's why I don't want to come preach in your church. Ding-a-ling. Seriously. If a man is confessing the Word of God, or a woman, or a child, that is the truth. It's not just because your arm don't work. Little sister, I know you've prayed for that arm, so we already know it's healed. Okay? See, that's the way it works. It's faith is speaking what you don't see. It's going beyond it. You know, it's like you say, well, I don't hurt. I don't hurt. Father, take away the pain, right? See, that's not lying. And some people say that's fantasy. No, most faith that's taught in America today is fantasy. Visualization of, what's the saying, instead of, can't think of it, so it's okay. But, see, faith is, you know, when you got a problem, you know you got it, right? Unless it's a drinking problem. I had that once upon a time. And I was so, yeah, I didn't know it. Fact is, I had a definition for drinking problem. I'll have a drinking problem when I can't afford the booze. Seriously. And that was very logical. Because where I was, it was very logical. See, it's the same thing when your body is trying to give you grief. It's very logical to say, oh, I talk about your healing. Oh, good Lord. See, it's not, where did logic come from? I believe it was a tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? So, well, you need to be logical, brother. Well, there's logic of the world, but there's also the logic of the promises of God. That's where we have to stand, is on the promises of God. You know, we used to sing a song. We still sing it sometimes. Standing on the promises of Christ my Lord, right?
You sang it in prayer?
We did. Amen. That's Breakfast of Champions. I mean, see, it's Jesus said, if you'll dwell in me as I dwell in you, you can have what you say. So the devil is working hard to keep us to dwelling in our problem. You know, we were thinking we were kind of getting bound up in our finances because across the border, from an hour and a half to 2 hours from our house, there are people being killed every day in Mexico. Not just Juarez, little town 70 miles away from there, or 50, by the name of Plumas. We went down to see our dentist down there, and the receptionist and dental assistant, she said, well, 9 months ago I become a widow. Sweet little girl, isn't she? She's got two beautiful little children, 6 and 4. And because we asked, what's all these, you know, orphan children on the street? Because I've been in hard places, I really have. And I know when there's a child on the street, whether they have a parent or not. Because there's a despair when they don't have a parent anymore. And it is like, it, you just see it. But anyway, we went, and we asked her, and she said, well, I said, well, you know, she told us she lost her husband. And she says, if I ask any questions, my children will be orphans. She said, I don't even dare ask a question. Now you and your free thinking, how would you like that? You think that it's never going to happen in America? We hope not. But, and we'd had Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, I think, had come to us and says, we can't, you know, see, I'm just that flaky healing guy. But when things are impossible, who do they come to? My wife. They told her, we have all this stuff, we can't get it in over the border. So Sheila, what'd she do? She starts hauling the stuff home, you can't get through the garage. And we had a pastor friend that had a lot of room. He was just honored that we could use the space in his church, so we started warehousing. Well, God opened up a way to get it in there, see? So what did the devil do to me? He makes me think, because we really, you know, when you start buying food by the cases and beans by the 50-pound bag and rice and stuff, it really hits the old checkbook. And it's amazing. People are willing to give clothing, but when you got to dig in here, then it's, well, we're tired of the wetbacks. Well, I don't like illegal aliens either. We need to sort it out and make them legal or get them out of here. My grandparents on both sides came from Ireland and they become Americans. All right? So we need to help them do one or the other, but not just ignore the problem. But regardless, when it's innocent children and mothers that are doing without, forget our stupid politics and our prejudice. I had a guy get on my case, and I said, I'll tell you what, a little kindness and you feed those kids and they won't grow up and get a gun and shoot you. That's right. Because they're in that formative time. See, that's faith. Faith is going the extra mile. That's how it works, folks. That's what makes it work. Everybody thinks faith and healing and all these things. But see, it's in every single detail. You know, we have a lot of problems in Romania. It gets really cold. This would be colder than this, okay? And just making an effort. Because the Delta area, I call it Delta, I don't know what they call it. It's near the Danube River and there's a Delta area, so I call it the Delta area. But anyway, it is really poor there, and it's all gypsies, and they're desperate. They're desperate. And we started a program a couple of years ago, and we're still working on it. We buy firewood, because they don't have heat in their homes. But we can't buy firewood for everybody, so you know how we do it? We buy firewood, and we put it in our churches. Think about an outreach program. See, Satan gives you cold weather for evil. So you put firewood in the church and the people in the village come in to warm up. Well, they're playing their zambals and their accordions and their violins and they're singing and praising God. The first year we started it in the spring, we're waiting for the ice to go out, we had over 1,200 baptisms out of that little area. See? We're not seeing because of lack of faith. We are not seeing that these, we're seeing things through the wrong kind of eyeballs. It's the eyeballs of unbelief. And by the way, if you read your Bible, unbelief is a devil spirit. Okay? You cannot get rid of unbelief with knowledge. Sorry. Knowledge won't get rid of a demon. He's got to be booted. But you do that, that's a little reading exercise for you. Get your concordance out. And you'll find it. But it's a demon. It's called the spirit of unbelief. Alright? And one of the ways we got to deal with things is you obey God. Because He says in His Word that obedience is better than great sacrifice. And I've learned a lot of years ago you cannot give God. And that's in everything. So if you're giving God glory that your arm is healed, it isn't, but it is. Guess what's happening? You're sowing in, just like the tithe. Your confession, you're sowing in. And it will bring it to pass. And you can argue with me all you want, except I won't argue back. I know this is the truth. I walked this road. Just 2 years ago, I was so busted up. Anyway. Should I? Well, I mean, it was a miracle. And thank you. Some of you was praying. But I was riding my ATV and I got a 650 Kawasaki. And that thing will fly, but I wasn't flying, I was only doing about 35. I still don't know how it happened, but I went end over end. And I rode it. And then I rolled and it was on top of me. And the last thing I remembered was kicking it loose. I was bruised from here to here. I mean, really a worst bruise I'd ever seen. But I'm laying there and see, don't ever let fear in. Don't let fear in, because fear is unbelief. And this eye I could see out of, and the mountains was moving. Mountains aren't supposed to move. Okay? This one I couldn't hardly see anything out of. And I spoke to my eyes in the name of Jesus Christ, because it works. And my vision came back. My leg wouldn't move. I commanded it to move. And it hurt to move, but I commanded it to move. I wiggled my foot and I realized I'd lost my shoe. But I was just dealing with one thing after another. But see, depend on God, because my brother came along, my Christian brother, 2 or 3 minutes behind me. And when he got there, I didn't stand and lay in faith any longer. I was trusting him. And he got hit with unbelief. And he cried afterwards, Brother Carl, he says, I didn't think anything would take you down. Well, I know better. And it took some time to recover. Because I had 3 ribs popped right out of my spine. That hurts. I had ribs broken here, I had ribs broken here. I don't know how it happened, but right over my heart, a rib was broken off on both sides here. And I laid there and looked down. And when you're in pain, your heart races. And that rib was just going like this. You know? But see, you can't confess the problem. And I'm real thankful because the people in my church, we're trained on this. We don't mess with that. And the brother that came, I called, the cell phone worked out there. And I called and I was working my way in. I got back on the ATV and tried to ride it, and the pain got so bad, I was fighting blacking out, so I decided I better not do this. So, I told the guy with me, go and get the trailer, load the one you got, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And we'd done that, so we're slowly working our way in. But by the time Sheila got there, she said I was gray. Well, imagine, you know, when you breathe real shallow when it hurts so bad. You know, and you know what she said in faith? Carl, start breathing. And I go, yeah, I did. But see, there is a responsibility you have to bring the promise to pass. I'm healed. Stand on my tiptoes, yeah? I mean, it works. Hallelujah. It works, see? But there's a battle sometimes. But I got healed out there on the desert floor. It took a while for my body to catch up. But I got healed there by the confession that was made. I'm not a great believer. I'm still learning this stuff. But the bottom line is if you will claim the promise in the name of Jesus Christ and you don't falter on it, it's got to come to pass. There is no option, but it's got to come to pass. The devil knows that. So what he is going to do to you is try to, through pain, fear, unbelief, any way he can, to get you to make a bad confession. And boy, he'll fulfill that confession. He is the God of this world, like it or not. It's in the epistles. It's not in the Old Testament. This is his domain. You got to recognize that you are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ in his kingdom. And you, as an ambassador, when you speak God's promises in the name of Jesus Christ, you have the protection of the kingdom you represent. See, and so we have got to recognize that all this stuff, he's doing a good job to make it look. I mean, the music, the movies, the news. You know, it's like people get so upset about this national health thing. Well, they can't take my insurance away. It's, yeah, that's right. But I do have. I don't carry insurance. I haven't for years. Because that money I spend on insurance, there'd be some children starved. Okay? So I claim the healing, but my insurance is with Jesus Christ Mutual. It's between God, Jesus, and me. All right? And it does work. We had a nurse in our church, and she dealt with a lot of trauma stuff. And she said, Carl, if they took you to the hospital, you might not have lived. Because they would have drugged you for the pain, and you wouldn't have had the fight to make it. See? But we have been trained, and the pain hurt. You know what a washboard road is? It's got these little things, boom, 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 boom. But we're on that, and I'm in such pain. And I actually thought, maybe I just should call and get an ambulance. My cell phone worked. But I realized, if they get a hold of me, they won't take me to my house. See, you give in to the system. And I'm not saying don't do that. I'm just saying I chose not to. And I've totally recovered. But we have got to do the same thing. But anyway, I talked Bible, but didn't give you verses. But if you want, I'll do it. But anyway, in Mark, in chapter 16, and I want you to realize, see, this is deliverance ministry. And every ministry is supposed to be deliverance ministry. There should be no such a thing as deliverance only. I've been here and I've watched salvation happen. I've watched healing happen, okay? Why? If they can't do it out there, praise God for places like this. But Jesus said in verse 15, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Don't hold back. Oh, but what will they think? Thoughts, maybe. Who cares? Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. He said, if you'll speak my name before men, I'll speak your name before the Father, which is in heaven. He also said, in another place, I'll speak your name to the angels. And I get in spots sometimes where I need them guys, literally, and I don't have time for them to figure out Carl who and where, alright? I want them to know. I want God to know me by my name And if I'm ashamed of his son, I'm in a heap of trouble. So if you're worried about what people say, ask God to forgive you and move on. Do it. But he says, speak the word. That's what it's about. Because even I love healing, I love deliverance. But I'll tell you what, if they're not born again, I want to get born again. Because being healthy and living in a few more years of sin, they got more judgment. Better off they die today, you know? Seriously. So we need to talk to them about Jesus Christ. We need to talk. That's what we need. Oh, that's the evangelist's job. Oh, really? I love evangelism. Clement honors me by calling me evangelist. I wish I was. I don't know what I am sometimes, but evangelism is so much fun. We go into villages and win whole villages some days. Whole villages! Go! Well, yeah, praise the Lord. You could try and sleep that night, and you're so excited, and you're not thinking about the people that got healed. All these people's whole eternity changed. See? And that's why he says it first. They talk fivefold ministry. There's more than five ministry gifts. But this is, they call it the Great Commission and then they don't do it. But that's what he said. But listen to this. This is not written. This is why they don't do it. Because it says, he that believeth, E-T-H, believes, no, believeth. He that continues to believe. And that doesn't leave you beautiful ladies out, okay? Because it's all inclusive. But it says, he that believeth. So he's talking to the ones that are willing to believe. Are you willing to believe? Well, if you got a little cowardness in you, ask God to help you overcome it. But it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall, doesn't say will. Some of these Chainsaw Massacre Bibles, they call New Age, non-inspired and all those things. They take and they change legal words. They change shall to will. I've got, oh, it's so much easier to understand. What? Water down and wash down? It doesn't say will, folks. If you ever get a court decree, it will say shall. Alright? Because it's legal. The Bible is a legal document, and he says in there, he that believeth, continues to believe, and is baptized, shall be saved. Absolutely. It's a big deal. But he that believeth, continues not to believe, believeth not, shall be damned or cursed. See, this is the last stuff Jesus talked about. In the Old Testament, when Israel, or Jacob, was passing, the last thing he'd done was spoke blessings on the tribes. Last thing he done. And then he checked out. Jesus knew he was checking out on life on this earth. So he wasn't talking sweetsy stuff. He really was speaking. And maybe he wasn't speaking to you. You got to decide if you were going to believe. And if that offends you, praise God, stick around, I'll get you another round. Because it's time we start believing, folks. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, they've even messed that up. They say that if you're not baptized, you're not saved. It doesn't say that. Have you ever been, some of you have, in the emergency room if somebody's dying? I'm sure you have. Didn't get time to get them baptized, did you? Okay. But see, Jesus Christ has got to be Lord. Because that baptism, when you accept Jesus as Lord, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, but you don't speak in... No. Come on. That's a whole different thing. That's a theology thing that's warped a lot of things. But if you look... And you look at in the Greek, and I'm not a scholar, but I can do that, so can you. You can look and see that when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying in the Greek. But when you overflow, then things like tongues and interpretation of tongues, those gifts start happening. But everybody, when they accept Jesus Christ as Lord, is baptized in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Now, maybe your favorite doctrine don't say that. Read your Bible. Absolutely. Absolutely. Which is what I'm teaching in our church right now is on that subject. But see, when people start to realize, we have a lady that's 91 years old, I think, and since she's 13, she's spoken tongues. But she never interpreted. And I taught it because all those nine, they call them gifts, but they're all part of the gift, which is the Holy Spirit. And I taught it, and when she's seen it, and I could see she was just bouncing back there, and so I said, Pauline, in the name of Jesus Christ, speak in tongues and interpret. She did it. The interpretation was so beautiful. Oh, but we believe somebody else has got to interpret. Well, believe it if you want. But everybody in the church was crying. So I'm a rascal. I guess you figured that out by now. So I said, Pauline, in the name of Jesus Christ, speak in tongues and interpret. She just had done it. Like she was relieved. It worked. But see, that's why I said in the name of Jesus Christ. Because it was a spirit command. And she did it again. And you know what? It was a different message. See, we have these things. We have these things. But you got to believe them to get them. Well, I don't care what you believed your whole life. Maybe you're wrong. Well, I found some things I believed my whole life was wrong. Amen? But why should we limit God by unbelief? Because you know what doctrines that aren't right are? Unbelief. Unbelief. Oh, but we don't believe in speaking in tongues. Yeah, I know. I can tell your cemetery is bigger than your audience. I'll tell you what. I couldn't live without speaking in tongues. I couldn't live without that. And if some of you don't do it, don't leave the camp until you do. Because it's in there, okay? Don't get ashamed or embarrassed or afraid. We need, for these days ahead, we need that perfect prayer and praise and intercession. We need that. Absolutely. No, it's just power. Because the gift is the Holy Spirit. We got a package and never opened up the whole toolbox. You know, it's like I got a telephone here. Sometimes I'd like to shoot it, but this thing I think would peel potatoes if I knew how to do it. But all I can figure out how to do is call people, you know. But other people got Bible programs in them and everything else. I'm a country preacher. I'm a buckboard boy, you know. Those things, but it's there, and if I don't use it, it's not BlackBerry's fault. Alright? It's the same thing. There's so much Bible. Clem has been, both you men, many of you men and women, have believed the Bible for years, and if you tell me that you know it all, I'm going to laugh at you. Because every time we open it up with a willing heart, we learn more. Amen. But the thing about it is that here's the key. He talked about speaking the word to everybody. Okay? And then he says, and you gotta believe. And then if you're baptized, take advantage of the baptism. It's in there. Okay? And then don't believe not because you're damned, you're cursed. But here's the beautiful part. They talk about it. But verse 17 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, if I just stand still, how can you follow me? But you can't follow me, can you? Gotta move, right? That's what he's talking about, see? Inactivity is unbelief. But I don't know what to do. Make a mistake. God will make it right. Ask him to forgive you when you realize you made the mistake. But he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Follow. Do it. Speak it. He says, in my name, not Carl's, Jesus Christ's name, they shall cast out devils. Oh, but we don't believe in that. Oh, really? Really? You know, it's so wonderful. God has so much mercy. I've been in denominational churches speaking and teaching, and people want to get healed. And He's helped me rather than have a fight to cast out the devils, and the preacher didn't even know it happened. The people that got rid of them didn't know. They just knew something changed. See, we don't have to make a show. We have authority over them. They are the lesser. They are the losers. They're trying to convince you, you can't do it. Oh, give me a break. It says, cast out devils. He doesn't say will, does he? He says shall. Absolutely. This is a legal decree from the kingdom of God. And you say, oh, I love God. Oh, really? Obedience is the heart of love. But he says, in my name shall they cast out devils. Who? Who's the they? Those that believe. Amen. See, so it's not talking to every Christian. But he says, in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. If he gave the interpretation, I'd know what I said. But the devils know. See, it's not a tongue that you memorize. It's a gift that's sitting inside of us. Amen? I'm not doing this to be a troublemaker. What does this have to do with deliverance? Everything. It says, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Those who believe. Those that don't do it, don't believe. I didn't write it. That's what it's saying. But listen to this. It says, they shall take up serpents. So now we got to go over to East Tennessee. See them boys. No. They take a scripture or a portion of a scripture out of context. But I tell you what, you have authority over them serpents. But the serpent is what in Genesis chapter 3, what was Satan called? The serpent. See? It's a demon, absolutely. You shall take him up. Cast him out. Oh, but I'm afraid of them. Then you need to get rid of unbelief. Fear, get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ. But they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, I got news for you. If you drink water out of a gypsy well, it's a deadly thing. If you get real thirsty, faith covers it. You know, sometimes you just about got to dig the bugs out of it. It's nasty. But you know what? It's never hurt me. But I check my faith barometer. You know what I mean? You don't want to do it in unbelief because the devil's going to give you stuff that's going to keep you on the porcelain throne for a long, long time. But it says that they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing. See, it says if you happen to. It doesn't say go drink poison to prove your faith. How do you prove your faith? By speaking in tongues and casting out devils. By loving shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands. Listen to this. They shall lay hands on the sick, and some of them will get healed. Doesn't say that? But that's what... Well, really? What does it say in yours?
They shall recover.
See? And I said this to somebody today. I said, prayer without faith is sin. Okay? I'm not going to pray for that arm without faith. All right? Your faith might be weakened because of having to live with this goofy problem. Okay? But see, our faith can make a difference. The first 4 hours I was in Romania, way back in the early 90s, they were going to prove me wrong, all these heads of the denominations. And they took me. Of course, I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know any language. I just went where God sent me. But they took me to this villa and up this big fancy stairway. You know, every country has wealthy people and poor. And our political scheme we're living under is to make them more poor. So they have more wealth. But anyway, they opened the door and pushed me in this room. And this poor lady had cancer so bad you could see through her skin. Have you ever seen anybody with that bad? I mean, it just, and she was in agony. And here they, you know, this is, you're a prophet, healer. Well, I didn't tell him I was a prophet. But, and my interpreter, they insult me, had brought a 14-year-old girl to interpret. Because after all, a man of God gets a man of God to interpret their traditions. Well, I just loved that little girl because she was, still love her. But she's not a little girl. Now she's got little girls. But anyway, I said, you know, and she was shook up. And anyway, and I said, I didn't ask her to interpret it. I said, Jesus, you did this. I'm going to do it. Those of you that don't believe this woman's going to get healed, get the hell out of this room. Hell's in the Bible. The devil says it's a swear word. If I was him, I would too. But that's what I said. And you know what happened? These big shot denominational leaders were knocking each other down to get out of the room. They didn't know English. How could this happen? They had devils. And I look over and Carmen's crying. I said, what's your problem? We've been traveling for 40 some hours. I would like to at least have a cup of coffee. And she said, I don't believe either. I said, well, I can handle your unbelief. I need you. 20 minutes later, we walked out arm in arm, me and that lady. The cancer patient. But you know what? I had to get rid of the unbelief. I'm going to tell you, folks, if any of you don't believe my little sister, I don't even know your name, but you sure sing pretty. But anybody that don't believe is going to heal, get healed. You, we'll just let you leave. No disrespect, okay? But we want faith. Okay? We want faith. I really want her to have the strength in that arm. When he gets rowdy, she can whop on him, right? Amen. Take care of the children, yeah. And just to praise God. Hallelujah. I remember my arm started working. I could praise God. It still hurts sometimes. But it just felt so good. I could praise God. I mean, it meant a lot. But the thing about it is that God will keep His promises if you will believe them. If you won't believe Him, He won't. Does it happen? Yeah, that's what I had to do that too. You do that. Praise God. Well, we got to fix that. Okay? And don't ever tell me, and I talked to brother about this tonight, don't ever tell you God really uses you. And don't you tell me that. The devil will use you. God, by the freedom of will, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we lay hands on the sick and they recover, we laid hands on the sick and we healed them. Whoa. It's the truth. Jesus said in John, He said, anything whatsoever you ask the Father. Don't ask the Lord, you ask the Father in Jesus' name. He'll do it that the Father gets the glory. See, you do it. You got to recognize you do it because when you do that, otherwise people are waiting around and go, waiting for the Spirit of God to move them. They'll get moved, all right. You got to make up the decision because that is written to those who believe. That's who it's written to. Oh, but I don't know how. You know what? There was a time when I didn't know how either. But you know what? I remember the first person I tried to raise from the dead. My faith was so good that I told his widow, just been a widow, go call the ambulance. Now, Harold was dead, you know what I mean? But I was afraid of what she would think of if I was going to raise him from the dead. Well, Harold didn't get up. But I didn't hurt him. See, he was dead. But I went in my house and I went in my bedroom and I tell you what, I was on my knees crying. I said, God, I don't know. I don't know if you can ever forgive me for what I've done. And God is so sweet. You know, He said to me, He called me by name. He says, Carl, it's okay. At least you tried. Next time, don't be ashamed. Isn't God good? Next time was my wife's mother died. She's still alive. A lot of years later. A lot of years. But see, we can't let a failure, you know, just watch The Art of Walking. If I don't watch where I'm going, I'm going to hit that wall. Right? But also, at any point you could stumble, right? Really, walking is kind of controlled stumbling. It really is. Huh? But when I do it. Okay, but we'll let you get up and show us Miss Ballerina. But see, life is about having the God that loves you so much, He cleans up your messes. See, the devil, when we mess things up, wants us to get so proud, we won't even admit it. Or, yeah. Yeah. With pride. You know what pride is? It's chocolate-coated fear. It's just the way that Satan has made fear taste good. If you don't like chocolate, we'll cover it something else, right? But that's all fear is. It's just candy, you know. Pride is just candy-coated fear. People get proud and arrogant because they don't like what's inside. Seriously. So they put on this big front. Well, God's not asking for you or for myself or anybody else to put on a front. It says, come boldly before the throne of grace. Nothing wavering. That means, you know, He's there with you. He knows that your feet stink. He made you. He knows. He knows all the words have been said. He knows all the words have been said about your arm. Your arm. Okay? He knows all those words. And God is big enough to help you overcome them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm expecting before I leave this weekend, so he could quit whispering. All right? Huh? Absolutely. Yeah. Healed up. Healed up. Oh, but Carl, how can you say that? That's embarrassment. Oh, really? Really? Getting embarrassed is not a faith thing. You know, if God told me a lot of years ago, He says, if you really want to see signs, miracles, and wonders, you need to go make a fool of yourself. I didn't really like that. But He says, I'll make you, you'll be my hero. See, it's not what other people think. People, if things are working halfway decent between their ears, they're thinking thoughts. And some aren't even doing that. It's just the fluff of the devil that's floating around. But there's no problem in this room tonight that cannot be settled. And I'll stay here and pray for as many people as I need to. But I want to do some things corporately, if you all please stand up. Am I going over too far? I can't even see the clock, so. Okay, what I want you to do between you and the Father, just take one of the obstacles that you have, whether it's health, finances, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, whatever it is, I want you to give it to the Father, okay? I just want you to quietly give that to the Father. You can give as many as you want, but do at least once, okay? And you all got something, right? Well, let's just be quiet for a minute. Just give it to the Father. Father, we gave it to You. Help us not be a thief and take it back. In the name of Jesus Christ. What I want you to do is one thing I know for sure, because we ain't got no dead bodies in here. You all have the gift of life, the breath of life, okay? So pay attention to your breathing. Pay attention to your breathing, okay? Just pay attention. Be thankful. It's a big deal. If you couldn't breathe anymore, you'd be in trouble. No, you wouldn't. You'd be on the other side of things. All right? So just pay attention to your breathing. There's no trick. It's not a gimmick. Just pay attention to your breathing. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just speak to this, whatever they call it, that's been done to my brother's neck. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing into it right now. Just pay attention to your breathing, folks. And so you know that you got God's blessing. All right? And love this man. He loves you. Amen. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, my little sister with her arm, my brother with his arm, I command. That's right, honey. Just a little further. Put it down. Put it down. Now raise a little further this time. Wow, that's good. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just keep doing that. Your breathing assignment's over. Just keep taking up and down, but keep breathing. The Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak health and healing into eyes. Anybody that needs it, just receive it. In the name of Jesus Christ, that arm's getting higher all the time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pain, get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, for hardness of hearing. I just thank you that you open up our ears spiritually and physically. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, we glorify you, Father, and we thank you. Father, I lift marital problems, conflict in the home. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give it to you, Father, and we command that to cease to have authority. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against racism. And everybody's got a problem with it. Just the other day, I realized I did. Some hateful Hispanics as I was going over the border, and I realized I needed to love them. See, because both sides, the Father, we ask for forgiveness for racism. Just cleanse our heart, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can know that we are your children, every one of us, and you chose us to be who we are in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for my little sister's arm just getting stronger in the name of Jesus Christ. Get thankful, honey. Just be thankful. And Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Keep doing the same thing, brother. Keep making it work. Just keep making it work. It's got to obey. Arms, you've got to obey. Eyes, ears, in the name of Jesus Christ. There's some bad hearts in here. Put your hand on your heart. Receive healing right now. Just receive it. Receive it. It's not from me. It's from the kingdom of God. Just receive it. Heads. We got some wacky heads in here, Father. I ask you to heal my forgetfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Heavenly Father. There's some bladder problems here. There's infection in bodies. I command all these things to leave. Just get out. Right out. Right out the door. I thank you for angels being here. Take those demons out. You don't come back on these grounds again. Get out in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father. You protect everybody here. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak over every person here a blessing of health. In the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you are healed. Just receive it. This one you don't have to do anything, but just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Just like if somebody handed you something. If you reach out, you got it. Receive it. And we glorify you, Father. And we praise you. I thank you for everybody getting a good night's rest and get here in the morning so that we can stand together with our brother Tom and come against the enemy. And we praise you, Father. I thank you for blessing that pregnancy that's in this room. I don't know if there's any more, but I know of one of them, Father. And I thank you for your blessing being on it in such an awesome and a wonderful way in the name of Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father. We thank you. Huh? Thank you for all the workers in this camp. Bless them mightily. Bless them mightily. Thank you for finances like you've never seen before, Brother Glenn, for this camp, because I know you know how to use them. This is a field that's ready you can plant in this one and you'll receive a crop, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.